See, I knew what the rest of you didn't know, that Alice doesn't just play the drums, she can also sing. Just a little of that human touch, not prayers or pity, just something to hold on to, someone to hold on to. Hug me, says the cactus. We're talking about desire this month, about how we are a people of desire, how we desire a life of meaning, to put our heart in a place of purpose. Talk about our desire to be loved. Next week, I want to talk about our desire for spiritual experiences, our connection to the holy, to God, even if we're repelled by the word, but that's next week. Today, I want to get really elemental, physical, earthy, and material. Just a little of that human touch. We desire touch, to be held, to hold, to feel contact. I mean it in the broadest sense, the handshake, the high five, the fist bump, the quick pat on the back hug, the longer hug. How big a hug is this supposed to be? How long shall I hold this hug? Already we could be eternal, writes Tess Gallagher. I mean all these forms of human touch, the held hands, the hug, yes, and the kiss and the caress, and of course sex in all its varieties and forms. I mean human touch in all these ways, some ways that are right and appropriate for all people and some that are not for children, some that we all seek and some that only some seek. But I mean human touch in this broadest meaning, human contact, skin to skin. What shall we say about human touch? Knowing that I could, and in fact I have, preached a whole series of sermons on human sexuality, and yet I'm still being broader here than that, to speak of touch in the context of sexuality and not in that context, what do we want to say today? What are the essential and core principles, the key realities of a Unitarian Universalist, a liberally religious understanding of human touch? Three things. Human touch, to be good and worthy and sacred, should be three things. It should be joyful, mutual, and interwoven. So let's start with joy, right? We're going to start with joy. That's always a good place to start. It feels good, right? Our cactus wants so much to be touched, knowing that it will bring a kind of joy that nothing else is doing. And he finally finds someone safe to touch, the stone, someone who needs it themselves, and it feels good. It makes us smile, and it makes us laugh, and it makes us feel better, makes us feel joy. Joy, the feeling of elation, lightheartedness, gratefulness, gladness, a bounce in our step, the capacity to see and feel what is good and be resilient in the face of what is hard. Joy is produced by human touch. This isn't a romantic, intuitive guess. This is science. Human touch, skin-to-skin contact, or even a hug while still in your winter coats. Human touch lowers the level of cortisol in the human body. Cortisol is what's produced by stress, the flight or flight response, by danger. And cortisol is helpful in a crisis, but it also shuts down other parts of the body, like the immune system, so it can get through the moment of high stress. But when the moment is over, the cortisol needs to go away. And think about it, what do people need after trauma? A hug. Right? It's what we need. The body knows what it needs. It makes the cortisol fade. And not only does it bring down something you don't need anymore, human touch also raises the level of oxytocin. Oxytocin is the body's natural high, the natural painkiller and mood lightener. Just as much as cortisol makes you suspicious, oxytocin makes you trusting and opens you up. It's the chemical that mothers of newborns get flooded with when the baby is born. Makes you feel joy. So we sing, when I am frightened, will you comfort me? Will you hold my hand? When I'm angry, will you still embrace me? Human touch has a joyful healing power. When we are frightened, we need to know that we're not alone. And the way that we know that is that someone holds our hand. When we're angry, we need to be brought back to our center. And we can do that often more easily when we are embraced. Human touch can lighten our load and give us a feeling of joy for the journey. It doesn't take much. Sometimes a hand on the shoulder or an elbow tap and we feel strengthened. And sometimes we need more than that. To be held in someone's arms while we weep. To jump up and grab on and make the joy feel real. And it doesn't matter if we're pro athletes being lifted on our teammates' shoulders after a win, or a passerby helping a stranger up to their feet after they've slipped on the ice, or a lover resting in the embrace of our beloved. Human touch brings us comfort when we are troubled and amplifies our joy when we are glad. As true as this can be for adults, it has an even stronger reality for infants. Plenty of studies indicate the essential need for skin-to-skin contact with newborns and for children. They need touch to create the bond, to learn trust. You've heard the stories, I'm sure, of children in pre-1989 Eastern Europe, those in understaffed orphanages, where they got very little, if any, touch. They were fed, but that's about it. And many of them had what we call failure to thrive. Some of them died because they were not touched. And those who were adopted out after 1989, many of them to Canada, as it turned out, made full recoveries with lots of touch, but others always had trouble. They were more likely to have illnesses, including challenges of depression and anxiety, but also physical illnesses, so forth. The need for touch is hardwired into our bodies, into our nervous systems, our hormones, our very skin. We crave it because it brings us joy and because it takes away our pain and heals our hearts. And yet it isn't that simple, is it? I mean, I could end here and say human touch brings joy and that's it and let you go, but we know it's more complicated, don't we? It's not 1969 anymore, free love, whatever goes, we know a little better. Back to the infants. When my daughter, who as you heard turned 9 yesterday, which I cannot believe, when she was an infant, she wasn't colicky, but she would scream sometimes, and she still can if she wants to. And she'd cry, clearly tired. This is the first couple weeks of life, but she would not sleep. So we'd rock her and sing and walk around the house and try anything, nothing, crying and screaming. When I was just about at my wit's end, she's about 2 weeks old, I swaddled her tight like you're supposed to, and then I just put her down in the crib, crying, tired, walked away. 30 seconds. She was fast asleep. Soon enough, I learned to tell the difference between the pick-me-up and hold-me cry and the put-me-down and leave-me-alone cry. 9 years later, still have to judge which is which, although she can speak for herself, so that's an improvement. Sometimes we don't want to be touched. Sometimes we want to be left alone. This is more complicated than human touch brings joy, because sometimes we don't want to be touched at all, or we don't want to be touched like that, or we don't want to be touched by that person. So we say human touch should be mutual. That's the second thing. Joyful, mutual, consensual, freely chosen. Not just uncoerced, that's too low of a standard. Should be freely and affirmatively chosen by any person involved. We're talking here about bodily integrity, the rights of people to make their own decisions about their own bodies, their own selves, for our body isn't just something we carry around with us, but is us. And we decide what feels good, what brings joy. And though human touch in the abstract does bring joy, we're dealing with concrete realities. And some specific touches don't feel good. They're controlling, they're too hard, too forceful, or we just need our space at the moment. There's a little cartoon, maybe some of you have seen it, that made the rounds a few years ago. In it, the narrator uses the analogy of tea to talk about sex in particular, although we can abstract to human touch in general. And person A says, I'd like to offer you a cup of tea. Person B might say, yes, I would love a cup of tea. And you make the tea and it cools a bit and then they drink it. Or person B might say, no, thank you. And so you don't make them tea. Or even if they say, yes, I would love some tea. And then while it cools, they say, I've changed my mind. No, thank you. or if they're unconscious, or if they, even if they had tea some other day but they have declined today, then you do not force them to drink tea. It's not complicated. It's more than I am willing. It needs to be, yes, I want. Okay isn't good enough, frankly. Human touch is joyful and healing and good, and so if both people aren't saying, hell yes, then step back. Because it is joyful and healing and good and very powerful. A power not to be misused, a trust not to be abused, and a freedom not to be squandered. When what is good becomes hurtful, well, there are a few more damaging traumas. Can poison what should be good for years or a lifetime to come, so don't. Make sure it is genuinely mutual. Hell yes is the standard you're looking for. Human touch should be to heal, to celebrate, to connect, to warm, never to control or make pain. We take that stance because we recognize the power of human touch, of this connection. This isn't just about cortisol and oxytocin. It's about something more. It's about something spiritual, something sacred. The word for this is hard to name. I've called it intertwined. We could say woven or connected. I mean the way in which human touch makes real our embodied interdependence as sacred beings. Springsteen sings, "Girl, ain't no kindness in the face of strangers. Ain't gonna find no miracles here. Well, you can wait on your blessings, darling, but I have a deal for you right here." And I will affirm that there's no outside miracles, no blessing that you have to wait for that's going to come from somewhere else, but I deny that there are no miracles. Right here is where it's at, right here. Though we need a little touch up and a little paint, we are the blessing. We, which includes our bodies. We're not just spirits trapped in bodies. That's the theology that some people hold, and I deny it. I deny it. We are embodied beings, sacred beings, holy bodies, in all shapes and sizes, with creaky joints and springs in our step and bruises and soft parts and hard parts, we are holy bodies, incarnations, embodiments of the creative spirit of love. Every night a child is born is a holy night, and that means every body, messy, real, earthy. We are interwoven bodies, connected to each other. We need that connection to exist, to live, to breathe. We need one another's bodies, hands, to come into existence, to eat, to live, to make meaning, to laugh and sing and learn and grow. We need one another. I want this church to be the place that enacts interwovenness, that testifies to the sacredness of our actual bodies. This is why our music isn't just performance, but part of worship. Why, in a world where people don't sing together as often as they used to, we do still sing together, even if we're not totally sure about the words or the tune. We sing together because when you breathe together, you connect. You listen and join in one body. That's why we hold hands at the end of the service. Now, I do say often hold hands or stand near because maybe somebody's fighting a cold or maybe they're not quite ready for that. Even here, just holding hands, consent and mutuality is important. But we invite everyone to hold hands together and sing together. And here's the truth. I know that there are folks for whom this moment, when we hold hands across the aisle, that this is the only time all week that anyone will touch them with love. That's it. And so that moment is sacred. And you may say that that's sad, that they should get 8 hugs a day, and we should, but it's true, and it's real. And what it tells me is that the church matters. In a world where touch is too often either absent or coercive, here we preach and we say and we affirm and we live that it is good and it must be free and it is holy. Hold that hand across the aisle. It may be soft and it may be small. It may be warm or cold, large or rough or hard, young or old. Our hands are different. Our wants, our desires are different, but we are human, and mutual loving touch is good for us. Body and soul, which are two words for the same thing, it is joy and healing. It is strength and it is celebration. It is life and it is power. It is the place where the holy is present. I've got a deal for you right here. When all the answers don't amount to much, you need something to hold on to, a little human touch. Joyfully, mutually, wovenly. So let us reach out, let us touch, let us welcome when it is right for us. Let us respect each other and ourselves. Let love guide us, friends and strangers, family, lovers, healers and hopers. Let us lean on each other in our times of need. Let us breathe and sing and live in our real, sacred, right here, right now bodies, with joy and with freedom and with love. We need one another. So let us sing, rise in body or spirit. Lean on me. I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again. And I invite you to join hands or stand near somebody next to you for our blessings and benedictions.